And welcome to the HalfGuarded.com Power Hour. I'm your host, Mitch Pomp. My other host, Dan Ford, is here. How you doing, Dan?
I'm diseased, but I'm holding up.
I've picked up vaping.
That seems bad for you.
I'm vaping right now out of my Juul.
I feel like everybody who vapes is going to get a weird kind of cancer. Like, not the cigarette cancer. But, like, brain cancer.
Hopefully, hopefully just a cancer that kills me quickly. That's all I ask for. But now I can smoke inside, so it's... is it worth it? Yeah.
Never mind. Who's the... the guy who's investigated for, like, all kinds of tax fraud, right? Duncan
Hart. Oh, the vape bro, yeah.
Yeah, the vape congressman. That video of him, like, just vaping into some... congresswoman's face, like, right next to him, and she just goes, "What the fuck is wrong with you?" And he's like, "What? It's non-toxic.
It's not toxic. There's no secondhand smoke from vaping. It's the safest thing you can do.
Yeah,
vaping is safer than driving a car.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure, like, probably safer than driving a car. I'm sure things that are barely researched are always very safe.
Listen, hey, cigarette smoke doesn't even cause cancer. Is all genetic. That's just a bunch of lawyers taking advantage of the poor tobacco industry.
Well, now you're speaking that language. Had a stats professor
explain that to me as he puffed his cigarette.
Now you're speaking my language as a North Carolinian. You know, you people just tried to take away the one thing we had to make money in this state. Now you all be ashamed of yourselves.
It should be. Look at all the poor farmers who had to grow soybeans or whatever the fuck.
Well, they don't grow those anymore.
Yeah. Because it's for cucks. North Carolina is not a cucks. Well, actually it is, Dan, because let's start with this. First news, Mac Brown, the ultimate
cucks. Returning. Yeah. You know, he Mac Brown left us for a woman 20 years ago for somebody else, but we're bringing him back. Yeah. Mr. Football, yeah, Steve Spurrier once derisively referred to him. And what everybody always talks about Steve Spurrier making fun of Phil Fulmer and Auburn and various people in the SEC, but he was way meaner to Mac Brown.
Yes, incredibly. Someone said, like, maybe Duke should just bring in Spurrier to coach with Cutcliffe. And
absolutely.
So you control Mac Brown.
Just, like, have Spurrier show up on the sidelines. And just sit in, like, a lawn chair, just, like, tossing barbs at Mac Brown while you just give him beers out of a cooler.
Is this a good hire for UNC?
No, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's the stupidest thing in the world.
Well, and what happens to Larry Fedora's dad bod? Well, he doesn't have a dad bod, because that dude is shredded. Will he gain a dad bod now?
Yeah, now he becomes depressed. Well, my boss, who used to be in the nightclub industry, used to own nightclubs, said, "There's never a man I've ever seen who's more obviously on something than Larry Fedora."
I'm sorry. coughing from the... Maybe I need to stop vaping.
Jesus, we need a cough button.
Oh, man.
But as my boss said about Larry Fedora once, that man is so obviously on something, I can pick him. I did that for 25 years. I know... what somebody who's strung out looks like. So that's how things looked for Fedora towards the end.
What is this going to mean for UNC? Hey, I think this is a great news for everyone else, though, because, like, no one lost a coach by Mac Brown getting hired, right?
UNC was low-key the best available job this offseason because USC didn't open up. All the SEC teams that were kind of antsy at their coach, they all replaced their coaches in the last 1 to 2 years.
Yeah, like, that's kind of weird as we kind of look at this now. When's the last time, like, there wasn't an opening at an SEC school?
A major SEC, because it looks like Vanderbilt might be coming open.
Are they going to fire?
No, it looks like Mason's leaving them for Colorado.
Hmm, okay.
Going back to the West Coast.
And I wouldn't take that Louisville job at all.
No, absolutely. If the favorite son born in, like, we'll get to that in a little bit, but if the guy who spent his entire life in the city of Louisville turns it down, my ass sure ain't going there.
No. And, like, even if they offered me more money and they offered Brom, which was apparently the issue there, I'd rather be at Purdue right now, to be honest. That's going to help my resume and go to a better school. say that's going to open up next year, whether it's USC or maybe the NFL poaches Brian Kelly or something weird.
Yeah. But, you know, you look at UNC and they've got great facilities. They're the flagship school in a state that produces some talent. They've got a historical pipeline in the Tidewater area in D.C. Obviously, like most teams in the Southeast, they recruit Florida pretty well. They've had great players from the state of Florida before. There's a lot of stuff to like about UNC as a job, and in a year where there's not really a big job open, UNC might have been the most attractive job this offseason. And UNC, as we have seen in the past, does not mind making allowances to help the athletics program. It is not Georgia Tech, you know?
Yeah.
UNC is a lot more flexible about such things than Georgia Tech is.
My thing too is like maybe why you didn't see a ton of firings or anything this year too. It's not that guy out there that you're like, well, we got to get him. There's no Scott Frost. You can't really do what PJ Fleck yet because he hasn't shown a ton at Minnesota.
They beat Wisconsin.
Yeah,
so that's a proof of concept for Minnesota, winning season and a victory over Wisconsin.
Yeah. But I think, like, you want to see a little bit more next season before you start. I mean, because a Fleck, when you're getting into it with the buyout at Minnesota, you probably have to pay.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a multi-million dollar deal, so. That's not something I'm touching yet. And I don't know who would hire him.
There's just nobody really out there that makes you scream for him. But what you also don't have is you also got a lot of jobs, a lot of unhappy programs with coaches they're kind of sick of, but they don't have the money to buy them out because the buyouts are so huge. And it's like, well, you're just going to have to wait another year or two.
Yeah, like at Auburn is a big one. Although I don't think Gus was really that close because I think there's enough money at Auburn to fire him.
There's a couple of like big cock swinging boosters who were like, yeah, don't you tell us we ain't got the money. And then when it came time to pass that collection plate around, it's like, oh, no, we ain't even anywhere close to 30.
Well, no, I think some.
$30 million.
I think there are some big boosters, though, who say, well, let's just hold off on firing Gus yet.
Yeah, because they ain't got the money.
Well, I'm just saying, I think there are some boosters who don't want to put in the money for that buyout. Now, if you had every booster ready to fire him because, like, Scott Frost is coming there or something, then sure.
But it would have cost you $60 million to fire Gus, fire his coaches, and hire new coaches. That's insane. And a lot of people can like go, oh, you can't tell us that we're not going to spend whatever it takes. But we've hit a point with these buyouts and these contracts where literally you could be the most irrational shithead in the world. You don't have the money to pay them. You don't.
Well,
I don't care what you think you have.
The other thing, too, is you don't have the money unless it's every booster getting together on the same page. And that's if you ever try to get a bunch of rich people on the same page, it's near impossible.
And I would argue some spots, because there's no way you can tell me that every available booster at a Louisville wasn't like, yeah, let's get rid of Petrino. We got to get rid of Petrino. They still didn't have the money.
Well, Louisville, too, just lost. I mean, their biggest booster, they pretty much banned from the school anyway. Yeah, we don't talk about that, but there is a Papa John's effect with maybe why they didn't get Jeff Brom.
They lost their biggest booster. They've got a lawsuit underway with Patino trying to get out of his $46 million buyout. They're finding out they maybe should have just negotiated a lesser buyout because they may end up paying more than if they'd have just given
him
half his
buyout.
Well,
you're paying legal fees too.
Like, let's say you get to the end and this judge says you do owe him the buyout. Well, then you're going to owe him $50 million almost, plus all these legal fees you've already incurred.
Yeah, and sometimes you might be paying for his legal fees as well.
Yeah. I mean, Louisville is like the example A of why schools almost never fire anybody for cause. Because if that guy takes you to court over it, good luck. You just signed up for 8 years of uncertainty.
And it's just like, I think Louisville thinks they're a big boy program, and they're just not.
They were so close. Like, Louisville, when they came into the ACC, had like the third richest athletic department in the conference. Because basketball was making a ton of money, football was making a ton of money.
But then basketball fell, even before Patino was out. I mean, that program was kind of low-key falling. Like, Kentucky had laughed them in terms of who was the better program, and in this century.
You know. And, I mean, you know, and now like, that both of their revenue sports suck, so, you know, there's not a lot of excited donors, there's not a lot of season tickets getting bought, and their products on the field are terrible.
Do you think the ACC will end up looking back at this and going, like, eh, maybe we should have taken a harder look at, like, Memphis?
I mean, they're in a position where I don't know the terms of, and nobody does, the terms of the deal they took when they joined the ACC.
Yeah.
I think there's probably a lot of teams in the ACC going, is there a way we can get out of this and take, you know, and just, like, try to add Notre Dame as a 14th, like, boot Louisville out and add Notre Dame in, or boot Louisville out, and when the Big 12's grant of rights ends, try to get West Virginia.
Or take a hard look at UCF or something weird.
Nah, Miami and Florida State won't allow that, but, you know.
Do they have the pool anymore? I mean, do these teams that win 10 games a year combined have the same pool in the ACC as much anymore?
Well,
because I feel like Clemson,
Florida State and Clemson are the Florida State and Clemson never votes with UNC, Duke, and the way the politics of the ACC works. And then, hey, this is maybe informative. UNC, State, Wake, Duke, and Virginia Tech, or not Virginia Tech, Virginia, tend to vote in lockstep on whatever issue. So no matter what the issue is, those five are usually a block. Sometimes Virginia Tech joins in, sometimes they don't. Virginia Tech still has this kind of this institutional happy to be there culture, which you'd think would have worn off by now because they've been there for over 10 years or so. But Virginia Tech's dream for 70 years as an institution was to be in the ACC. And when they finally got in the early 2000s, it was like, yep, we're pretty happy. We are pretty content with our situation.
Yeah. I mean, they should be.
You know, it's a thing they worked, a lot of people at Virginia Tech worked a long time to do, and then once they got it, they're like, yep, nothing really bothers us too much. We are pretty happy.
They're the one guy who moved into, like, the rich neighborhood and was like, yep, I don't need more money. I'm good.
I'm good. I'm here.
I got a pool. There's a gate.
I'm a member of the golf course, and I'm happy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, like, okay, you've got a BMW. I'm driving, like, a really nice Ford Focus. Okay, that's cool. Look where I live.
Boston College and Miami have tended to block together, you know, the former Big East schools who, you know, had a lot of relationships with each other. Syracuse and Pitt, you know, you'd think they'd vote in a block with Boston College and Miami. We haven't seen that yet. Definitely Pitt and Syracuse are a package. Like, they work stuff out together and vote together, but there's still some lingering animosity with Syracuse, Pitt, and Boston College, because there's a lot of, all those Big East schools all blame Boston College for the Big East dying, because they were the first original member of the Big East to leave.
No, yeah, like, there are Notre Dame fans to this day who hate Boston College for what they did in the Big East.
So,
what's the guy in The Godfather who turned on the, Fredo?
Fredo, yeah.
Fredo. They call him, if you go, like, to the Notre Dame community online, which if you do, like, be very careful. But they don't even refer. They call Boston College Fredo. They don't call him Boston College.
Yeah, you know? And that's very common throughout, like, Big East fandoms. It's like Boston College are the pieces of shit who killed the conference.
Yeah,
never mind the fact that, like, once they lost Miami, they were screwed, whether they believe that or not. Like,
well, I thought Boston College was the first one to move, though.
No, Boston College, Virginia Tech, and Miami went together to join the ACC.
Together, okay.
But Boston College was the first original member to leave.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's like once you lost Miami and Virginia Tech's conference, well,
I always thought them leaving to the ACC was kind of not dumb from their standpoint, but just like it doesn't make sense.
It was a great move for them because they're in the ACC and UConn, who has been better than them at most sports for the past 25 years, now is nothing and is nowhere and has no money.
Who
would you rather be?
Dan. That's not, they did have the greatest women's basketball program in the history of,
That puts a lot of money in the bank vault. Well,
you know, let's not disparage women and be misogynistic on this podcast. And they'd have a lot of success with women's basketball and probably financially better than most other schools.
Well, their football team's broke and their basketball team makes like a third of the money it did before the Big East fell apart.
No, so, UConn definitely should have been the one that jumped to the ACC.
They were going to be. That's my fun fact for you guys, for you. UConn was the choice to be the team that replaced Maryland. UNC, Duke, State, Wake, Virginia had all lined up behind UConn. That's who they wanted. And then Boston College made some strange bedfellows with Clemson and Florida State. Clemson and Florida State always act together because those are the two football schools in the state, in the ACC who are like unabashed. We are football schools first, second, and third.
Yeah.
And they said, over our dead body, are you adding another team from New England that we're going to have to travel to who won't mean shit for football? Because at the time, this is before Clemson won their national championship. This is before Florida State won their national championship. Like, they were both looking at it as, like, we're being hurt by being in the ACC. It's keeping us from competing with SEC teams because we don't have enough good teams to play against.
Who do they add instead?
They added Louisville.
Louisville, which is a basketball school first, always.
At the time, Louisville was kicked. At the time, this is the Teddy Bridgewater Louisville with Charlie Strong. And then, you know, Bridgewater graduated and Charlie Strong left for Texas. And then, you know, in came Bobby Petrino. By the time Louisville joined the conference, it was Bobby Petrino was back. But, you know, basically, Clemson and Florida State basically just played a power play where they said, look, because nobody, the Big Five I was mentioning there, they were saying no, hell no on Louisville. Their academics suck too much. And yeah, Louisville's a terrible school.
But I'm sorry. So is FSU. FSU's a commuter school. Like,
FSU
they're basically
is a,
just a big FSU, community college.
FSU is a significantly, and I'm not saying this because I'm an FSU apologist. I hate FSU. FSU is a significantly better college than Louisville.
That says a lot about
Louisville is one of the worst nationally ranked colleges in the country.
Well, that could be because of liberal bias.
We're talking about like Mississippi State, Ole Miss level.
Well, what's like number one, like Yale and Harvard?
The last time I looked at one of those,
who graduated? Did Jared Kushner not go to one of those schools?
Absolutely.
Did Jared Kushner not go to Louisville's a better school? Louisville has done less damage to the world with their academics than Harvard and Yale.
Well, we're not in the Ivy League, though, so we're talking about Duke and Wake Forest and Carolina.
Okay, who went
and
to
Virginia.
Duke? Fucking the Richard Spencer and like all these.
Also, Richard Nixon.
There you go. See,
when I
finally... Who has Louisville ever produced that's been bad? Where did Mitch McConnell go? Like Kentucky?
I believe he went to Louisville.
Oh, let's look that up. He went to probably went to Maryland because of the turtle thing. Probably got like a scholarship.
I want to say he went to Louisville.
Then I'm gonna not back. Oh, by the way, when you Google Mitch McConnell, the second thing that comes up is Mitch McConnell turtle.
He does look like a turtle.
He does. Well, that's why I thought he would have gone to Maryland.
Yeah, I've peed on that turtle.
No fetishes here, sir.
Well, look.
Why don't they tell you what college they went to a lot easier? He's not even from Kentucky. He's from fucking Alabama.
Carpetbaggers. Fucking carpetbaggers.
Okay, he got his BA from Louisville, but his JD from Kentucky.
Oh, so he did the John Edwards. John Edwards, former former North Carolina senator, went to NC State for his undergrad and UNC for his law degree.
Yeah, some people do that with Georgia Tech, though. I know a guy who got his BS in UGA.
If you want to go into politics in the state of North Carolina, that's what they always suggest you do. Go to state for undergrad and then go to UNC law. Unless you want to galaxy brain it, then you go to North Carolina Central for law school. That's if you're a galaxy brain politician. Because that's when you really are thinking long term.
What about Duke?
Anybody who goes to Duke, you're basically saying you're never going to work in the state of North Carolina in politics ever again.
or maybe in the state.
When I was in college, I had a political science class my freshman year, which was basically like a lot of the people who went to it were interested in one day being lawyers. And it was like, hey, this is sort of like political science and the law, sort of like this, hey, if you hate this class, maybe law school's not going to be for you.
Yeah.
And the guy sat us down like third week of the class. And he was like, look, I'm not going to tell you guys where you need to be tracking to go, but if anybody in here is interested in a career in politics, if you ever even think about going to Duke, you're fucked and you're an idiot. He just straight up said, you will be fucked. There has never been a single politician in the state of North Carolina who went to Duke.
Well, maybe you don't stay in the state if you go to Duke.
If you go to Duke, you're basically saying, you want a national legal career. Like, maybe you want to be a judge or something.
But doesn't Duke produce a lot of, like, sports agents?
Duke produces a lot of, like, trial lawyers, like, the big ones. And, like,
Well, I thought, isn't that where all the major sports agents came from? Like, who's the one everyone hates?
I never know who they hate anymore.
Boris? Scott Boras?
I'm not sure. You could be right.
Okay. Well, let's stay in the ACC really quick, because the Tech fired/resigned Paul Johnson.
Felt like a mutual thing where Georgia Tech was looking at, look, we've got a chance to maybe hire a pretty good coach this year because there's not a lot of options, and Paul was like, I'm so sick of dealing with you people.
No, and like, it was probably time for that marriage to end. And I think, and both should be happy about what they produce, because like, it's a pretty successful time, but... It is like, Tech does have the academic things that make it hard to recruit, but so does the fucking triple option, Dan. And I know you're a triple option apologist, but I would say I would rather go to Notre Dame than Georgia Tech.
The triple option had nothing to do with recruiting defense.
It did. So. There are kids who do not want to go play. Look at what fucking Khalil Tate said.
But what's kids that got to do with defense? But the defense has nothing to do with it. Like, I can understand there are definitely a lot of offensive players who don't want to play in the triple option. But there's a, like, defensive players don't care what the offense is.
Okay, but Dan, what is the ACC really known for producing, like, a ton of defensive players?
Besides Clemson. Yeah, that's the one thing the ACC produces a ton of is future.
I don't know, if I'm a defensive player and, like, I'm good enough to, like, I mean, Alabama and Georgia are right there. So is Auburn. I mean,
you look at the history of the ACC, we've produced far, like, the part of the reason why the ACC has never been as good as the SEC is because the ACC doesn't produce enough offensive talent. We produce probably more defensive, like, Hall of Famers than the
ACC. Who's the best defensive player in the history of Georgia
Lawrence
Tech?
Lawrence Taylor.
Roman Reigns.
In the history of Georgia Tech. Well, Georgia Tech, you know, they ain't been in the ACC that long. They've only been there since 1980. I think 85 was their first year in the ACC.
Yeah, okay. It also goes back to this with Tech. Your biggest mistake ever was leaving the SEC.
Yeah. I mean, I wonder
it's
if...
Like, you would have a lot more money to hire good coaches if you were in the ACC. Well, and that's not an
I'm
ACC.
Sure there's a lot of people at the Georgia Tech who are like, but our academics would suffer. And that's all that matters to me is our sweet, precious academics.
Which is so funny. It's like... We can get into, like, some of the politics with the Tech administration, but, like, it's not just athletics where they have these issues. Like, there's a lot of fucking issues at Tech. If you talk to people who are students there right now, that stem all the way from the top. So, like, if you hear about, like, the football team having issues, but so is, like, every student there. I mean, they fucking killed a student last year.
There feels like you've got an administration who, if they could switch cities with University of Georgia... They would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I get the feeling at Georgia Tech, there's a lot of people involved with running that university who really aren't comfortable that their city, that their college is in the middle of the capital of Black America. I'm just going to say.
Well, I think, like, too.
There seems like a constant uncomfortability with how African American their surroundings are.
Well, I think, too, if Georgia State ever gets, like, a coach who's decent... Like,
they're never going anywhere, dude. They're in the Sun Belt. Like, you gotta give that.
No, I mean in terms of recruiting. Where would you rather go?
You're never gonna be able to recruit in the Sun Belt. You're never gonna be able to recruit good players in the Sun Belt.
I mean, is Tech really recruiting good players right now?
Okay, Georgia Tech is considered a sad recruiting team. They typically recruit between 40 and 70. Georgia State has never recruited above 90.
Well, they're also not even 10 years old.
But they're in the Sun Belt. They're never... They would have to join the American. And they'd have to get good enough to join the American.
I'm saying if State ever got a good enough coach, you could see a lot of that change, I think.
I doubt it, because Atlanta is one of those places that's so crowded with people that, like,
you know what it's crowded with? Football prospects.
But, like, why would you want to stay at Georgia State when you could go play at Missouri?
Okay, if I'm a young black man, I can stay in Atlanta or go to Missouri.
But, like, you have a chance to play real... You have a chance to play real football versus, like,
Chance of just, like, being lynched in Missouri.
Well, that's never happened in Atlanta before.
Not recently.
Hey, those big stone Confederates still up? Those guys still there?
That's in Stone Mountain. That's east of here. We don't claim them as part of Atlanta. It's like 40 minutes from the perimeter. How's that Atlanta? It's like saying you live in Charlotte.
Everything in Georgia is 40 minutes from somewhere. You can't go anywhere in Atlanta and not be at least 40 minutes.
Listen, I live just outside the perimeter, and I don't feel good about saying I'm from Atlanta. Like, say I don't count Stone Martin as part of Metro Atlanta. They don't deserve it. Now, Kennesaw, sure, even though I think it's further away. Kennesaw State, who just signed the first player with autism to play on their basketball team. So
Kennesaw State, big triple option school. Team.
Woke school.
Just like every team in like South Georgia runs the flex phone.
No, they run the wing T, Dan. How dare you?
But yeah, Paul Johnson will be back in college football, by the way.
Yeah, but I think
statement, he makes it, he never uses the word retirement, and he always uses the word resign. And he says, it would be good to take a year away from the sport to be with my family. I've had 40 years without a break, yada, yada, yada. I'm just going to hang up my shoes forever. Like, at no point does he say that.
Do you think he just ends up, like, back at Navy?
My bet would be Georgia Southern.
Because Southern probably has a little bit more money now in the Sun Belt than they used to, I'd imagine.
I think
maybe he comes back as, like, the AD.
I think he wants to coach. I think he's going to be a guy who's going to coach a long time. He just wants to find a place where, like, they're going to go, Paul Johnson, whatever you ask us to do, we're going to do it.
You know, Paul Johnson, Georgia State. Let's do it.
I don't think he'd ever do that. He's still too respected at Georgia Southern and revered. I don't think he'd betray them by going to Georgia State.
It would be kind of funny, though.
I could see him at Western Carolina, where he's an alum.
Maybe at Auburn in a year. Who knows?
I don't think he'll go to Navy because I think if Ken Niumatalolo gets a head coaching job somewhere else, I think Irvin Jasper is the next guy in line, and I don't think Paul Johnson would want to keep Irvin Jasper from getting a head coaching job. Whereas at Georgia Southern, there's nobody currently employed there who directly worked for Paul, where he would be taking a job away from them.
Maybe Paul Johnson just plays golf and goes, you know what, I'd much rather do this.
No, he'll be coaching again. I mean,
we'll
you
find
just
out.
Read his
you never know, Dan. Golf.
You just read his statement and it's like, yeah, this guy is absolutely going to be back.
Maybe he hits the links and goes, fuck this shit. You never know, Dan, because sometimes you take a few days off or maybe you take a week off from work and you're like, well, I don't really want to do this anymore.
But the thing about millionaire. The thing about Paul is that he's basically not changed his offense in 30 years, and it still more or less works, especially when he's not playing like Georgia-level teams. So if he went back to a low-level FBS team like Georgia Southern, he would immediately just whip the shit out of every team in the Sun Belt just based on that offense and based on how he's coached it for so long. And he could go play golf like two or three times a week and still – and still whip everybody's ass in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, Paul, how old is Paul Johnson?
He is 61.
61, so he's not even that old.
He's younger than both Les Miles and Mack Brown.
He's from Newland, North Carolina. Maybe he goes to ECU.
No, he's from the other end of North Carolina.
Oh, okay.
He's one of those... that's why Paul Johnson sort of has that reputation as being a scary guy, because he's from the scary part of North Carolina. Where it's like those mountain people, where it's like... A fun fact, a relative of mine, my would have been my great uncle, was a motorcycle racer. He did that for a living, you know, as a
job. But he used to look at App State.
Let me tell this story. It's a very good one. My great uncle was a motorcycle racer, and he used to race every weekend. He would go and do different motorcycle races. This is back in the 50s. He went and did a race up in the mountains. They raced in the mountains once a month. He was pushed off the side of that mountain, and we never found him again. We just found bits of his motorcycle. That's what happens to you in the North Carolina mountains.
Okay, then maybe he takes a look at App State if their coach bolts.
Well, I don't. I think Appalachian would want to go for somebody in their family. I don't think they.
He's an alma mater of App State, good sir.
He went to Western.
But he got his master's at App State.
But I'm telling you, they're going to look for somebody.
Is that the Western Carolina version of the politics thing?
Probably, yeah. I don't. Those Western people, I try to stay away from them. They'll cut you. But. Appalachian's mostly a teacher's college. So if you're going in to try to get your master's in education, you know, the big education colleges in the state of North Carolina are Pembroke, UNC Greensboro, and Appalachian. Okay. I think East Carolina used to be a teacher's college too. I can't remember. I try to stay away from ECU people. Appalachian's going to want to hire somebody from within the Appalachian football family, though. Plus, Georgia Southern and Appalachian, for years, that was their
rivalry. Well, maybe they do that to stick them.
But Appalachian and Georgia Southern was the biggest rivalry in the FCS for years, and I don't think Appalachian would want to cave and do that bullshit Georgia Southern offense. It would be like, you know, it'd be like Michigan hiring, you know, somebody from Urban Meyer to come be
their
head coach.
What if it lined up better and like Spurrier ended up getting like the Georgia job?
Spurrier's never coaching college football again.
No, but what if it like 20 years ago, what if it lined up differently? Like, let's say Georgia doesn't fire, was it Ray Donovan? Let's say they wait 2 more years and then Spurrier is out the Redskins. How funny would that have been, like Spurrier at Georgia?
He almost went to Tennessee. He would have never gone to Georgia.
Yeah.
Spurrier hated Georgia with more passion than anything else he hated.
I know, that's why it would have been kind of funny, though.
He would have never coached for Georgia. I think he would have coached for Tennessee, because he is from there, even though he had a lot of animosity towards them. He didn't play them as a player, because the way the old SEC schedules worked out, he never played Tennessee.
Yeah.
At Florida. So I don't think he had the same hatred for them. And I think he could have. I mean, he almost got the job instead of Phil Fulmer.
Well, there you go. Well, let's move on. So we talk a little. Was that kind of all the coaches?
What's the coach? Right, well, Jeff Brohm staying at Purdue. I don't think we went into a ton of detail on that. But yeah, Purdue or Louisville made him a really low ball offer. And, you know, you heard it like 2 days ago. It was somebody who was connected. He was a media guy in Louisville who had connection to the Bronx.
Was it the press conference will be Monday?
No, there was a guy. No, there was a different. That was a different person who's not actually connected to the Bronx. Who was just like, you have things in coaching searches where I call them like fan service reporters, where they just tell fans whatever the fans want to hear, and they always get like a ton of Twitter followers for like 2 days, and then everyone finds out they don't know what they're talking about. The all-time version of that was the dude of West Virginia, who during realignment was this Twitter account. I think he was a message board guy for West Virginia, who kept saying, West Virginia, we're going to be in the SEC. And he had 100 billion Twitter followers. Like, the entire state of West Virginia was following him. And then it turned out he didn't know his ass from a hole in the ground and disappeared, and you've never heard about him since. But, you know, a particular reporter for, I think, a TV station in Louisville, who had legitimate connections to the Brohm family, put out this thing going, being told offer to Jeff Brohm was shockingly low.
Mm-hmm.
Deal might be off the table. And some people looked at that and went, well, he's just covering his ass because he's been very pro Brohm going to Louisville. This is just some bullshit he's making up in case Brohm stays at Purdue. But given that he did have genuine connections to Jeff's dad, who's a longtime high school coach in Louisville,
yeah.
I have a tendency to think that was Jeff Brohm and his side putting something out in the public, trying to tell Louisville, look, you've got to give me more money. Like, I'm not going to give you, like, it's a big enough thing for me to leave Purdue and come to you instead of waiting around and maybe getting the USC job.
Yeah, well, and plus at this point,
like, I'm not going to do it for a discount. Like,
I'm
leaving a place with more money than you. I can recruit probably just as well here. I've got an easy division, and I'm set up to where next year, if I have a good year, I can maybe go to USC.
Yeah, and like I said, Dan, he was, I mean, four of those losses were very close. So he's four losses away from having 10 wins at Purdue.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing a good job there.
Yeah.
He seems to be fitting in. And I'm sure he would have gone home, but not for less money than he's making.
Do you think he didn't want to disappoint that sickly boy that Purdue trots out?
No, I think Louisville just didn't pay him enough money. Like, they were, I think what happened there is Louisville fired Bobby Petrino a year too soon before they could afford it. And they told themselves that Jeff Brohm will come and take less than he deserves to help out his beloved alma mater. And then they finally contacted Jeff Brohm and started talking money and found out, no, Jeff Brohm wants to be paid like a highly in-demand head coach.
Yeah.
And suddenly they did not have the money to hire him after firing Petrino. And then everything fell apart. That is what I believe happened. Based on the timeline, based upon, you know, things suddenly changing once it sounded like money finally started getting discussed. It seems like everybody was, yes, 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 and then the offer came. And it was like, whoa, 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 wait. No, I'm not doing it for that. And, you know, I think that's part of what's happening here is that these football coaching salaries have gotten so high. And schools have yet to adjust to the fact that these salaries are so high and these buyouts are so big. You can't have the same quick hook that teams had in the 90s and the 2000s with head coaches. You financially cannot afford it. Louisville's found that out the hard way. Whereas if they just held on to Petrino for another year, Jeff Brohm would have probably ended up being their head coach. Because if they just had one less year of his buyout to pay, Jeff Brohm, they probably could have afforded him. Instead, they jumped the gun on Petrino. I know Petrino was doing a terrible job and it was a really toxic environment, but they didn't have the money to do it, and they did it anyway, and they got to live with that.
Yep. So, yeah, nothing else major.
Oh, and the biggest thing about the Mack Brown to UNC thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is what makes the Mack Brown hire so bad. Appalachian's head coach, Scott Satterfield, is sitting right there in the same state. He's 45 years old. He knows every high school coach in the state of North Carolina. UNC's big issue the last few years with Larry Fedora has been a complaint that he's losing too many in-state recruiting battles, that he's not, you know, Larry Fedora basically came in and thought he didn't need North Carolina coaches. He didn't need North Carolina talent. He could just win with Florida, Georgia, and Texas. And that dried up once he had one bad season. And then suddenly it's like all the state high school coaches were like, man, actually go fuck yourself. You didn't seem to care about us, you know, when you thought you were doing so well. You can go piss up a rope and die now that you need us. So the feeling was, hey, you know, we need more in-state recruiting. Well, Scott Satterfield knows the state pretty damn good. You know, he's been here for a long time. He's been a player at Appalachian. He's been an assistant coach at Appalachian for 10 years. He then went to Toledo and Florida International and then came back to Appalachian as their head coach.
Well, they run a pretty cool little offense, that. And then, like,
they've
kind of, like,
been very creative. They've been very creative.
That's kind of the guy, Dan. Let's say if Gus kind of sucks next year, let's say it's another 6-win, which I don't think it will. I think Auburn probably wins.
Well, Satterfield's going to end up somewhere. He's either going to end up at Georgia Tech or Louisville, probably.
I kind of see him at Auburn.
Well, he's going to end up somewhere this year. Because
the word with Tech right now is they're going to hire that OC from Clemson.
We'll see, but like Satterfield is basically become most people's number one choice now of available guys. And
would you leave App State for Louisville when like maybe there's a few better jobs opening up next year?
If you're ready to go, I mean, but you're missing the fact that Scott Satterfield's 45 years old.
He's going to be 46 next year. I mean, do you want to be 48 and fired at Louisville?
But he's getting close where I think he's kind of antsy. He finally wants that head, that a big job.
Maybe, I'm just saying, maybe just look to Dan Mullen's example.
Dan Mullen desperately tried everything he could to get out of Starkville for 10
years. I know,
but
the best thing that ever happened to him was waiting, or not waiting, but like not that not happening, and then he get Florida, and like he's set up for some big success at Florida, I think. Especially if Tennessee keeps sucking. Yeah. And with FSU and Miami down.
There's also a big pay difference between even making shitty Louisville pay and what Appalachian can afford to pay him.
Say, so wait a year, come to Auburn.
We'll see. I think he's going to be going somewhere.
But let's get into some picks. Yeah.
But basically, UNC had that guy sitting right there. And everybody who knew coaching thought, well, if Larry Fedora, like that was, most people had thought Larry Fedora's probably going to be safe. But everybody who thought if he does get fired, they're just going to hire Satterfield. Like it was just this automatic thing.
Yeah.
And then instead they hired a guy who's 68 years old. Who hasn't coached in the ACC in
since Spurrier was there.
1996 was his last year in the ACC. And who, I'm going to add this about Mack Brown, because Mack Brown did have a great career coaching. When Mack Brown was at UNC, he never built a good team when Clemson was good. Like the really good UNC teams under Mack Brown that ended up getting in the Texas job was after Clemson fell into a pit. We have never seen Mack Brown go head to head with a high
Dabo
Clemson.
And Dabo ain't leaving Clemson unless Nick Saban has a heart attack tomorrow.
And I don't
even see, then it's going to be.
I don't see you being able to pry Charlotte away from Dabo at this point. Dabo, Clemson owns the city of Charlotte now.
Yeah, and like I said, Dabo's a pretty young guy. I don't think he's leaving Clemson for, like, unless Bama opens. That's the only job I could say. That's just because it's the best job in the country.
Well, and Mama calls. I mean, he went to Alabama. It is what it is.
Yeah. It's where he's from. My old boss went to high school with him.
It's like Bear Bryant said back in 1960 when he took the Alabama job and left Texas A&M, who was primed to win a national championship. Mama called. And when Mama called, you come home.
Yep. Let's get into some picks. Let's start with the MAC championship game at Ford Field in Detroit. We've got Northern Illinois versus Buffalo. Buffalo -3.5. Give me Buffalo. Buffalo is the 10-win team.
Buffalo, Lance Leopold, former head coach, I think, at Mount Union. What's the two D3 teams that always play each other every year for the D3 national championship?
Like Mount Union and like Pittsburgh
and,
or something.
Oh, Wisconsin-Whitewater. Yeah. I believe he came from Wisconsin-Whitewater. Matt Campbell came from Mountain Union, I think. I think he was an assistant coach and a player there. But, you know, they basically, Buffalo looked up and said, well, nobody is interested in coaching our team. Like, there's nobody we can get who would probably help our football team not be the worst team in FBS. So how about we go give a guy from Division III a chance and see if he wants to try FBS football?
Yeah.
And it's worked! So I think more like sort of these jobs at the low levels of Division I where you look and go, well, that's a hopeless job. Like when you look and see, you know, San Jose State, for instance,
mm-hmm.
or Buffalo is a good example. God, what's another one? What's one of the
GA
really,
State?
Georgia State. Georgia State can
FIU or something.
Well, those jobs at least are located in good spots where I don't think they're as hopeless. Like when you're talking about hopeless, I mean like.
Well, and like think about where
Kent
Buffalo
State.
Is located. Yeah.
Like Buffalo.
Two, like at least
UMass.
With like FAU. Yeah. At least with like FIU, you get to live in Miami.
Yeah, there's players near you. Yeah. A UConn.
Well, I just meant like where you live, Dan. Do you want to live in Buffalo, New York? It's literally like the most miserable place in the world.
There's somebody who probably likes it there.
I remember the old Kenny Mayne stuff on ESPN. They did a skit with Marshawn Lynch when he was there, where Marshawn talked about how he loved to go to like the Applebee's. That was the only spot you could go to for fun.
Did you hear what happened when Jim Kelly found out he got drafted by Buffalo?
And cried.
He cried. He literally cried.
Wow.
And then
did that happen to the NBA too?
And then went to the Houston Gamblers USFL instead.
Yeah. But I think like Steve Francis did that when he got drafted.
Oh, he didn't cry. He just got angry and refused to report until they traded him to Orlando. He's basically like, I ain't going to Vancouver.
Next up, how about we do...
But anyway, before to wrap it up, if you're UConn, you should go look for a Lance Leopold, because you're never going to be good UConn unless you go find a guy and go check out and see who's winning a lot of games at FCS. Like,
yeah, what, UT Chattanooga's got a coach who's doing stuff.
You know, see if you can hire the North Dakota State coach, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of, you know, North Dakota State being their head coach has kind of lost steam because Craig Bohl has gone to Wisconsin or gone to Wyoming and not done so good. Maybe it makes you think, hey, maybe North Dakota State's just got a really good setup that allows them to be successful. But, you know, go check out, I don't know, Montana. See what their coach is doing. Like, try to find somebody who's succeeding at a lower level and give them a shot, because otherwise you're screwed.
Yeah. Next up, let's talk Pac-12 championship. 8 o'clock on Fox. Utah, Washington. In Levi's Stadium in front of probably 5 people.
Yeah, 12. Like, they cannot. The Pac-12 is just begging them.
Well, the game's going to be in Vegas when that stadium's ready.
Yeah, the Pac-12 is just begging that Vegas stadium to get done sooner.
Because that's the perfect... Because, like, A, you can't... If you're a regular person, you really can't go to Northern California on vacation. That's a lot of fucking money.
And you're not in Northern California. Like, you're not in San Francisco. Like, you're not in a tourism destination where it's like, if I was a fan of, let's say I was a Colorado fan, and maybe I'd never been to San Francisco, I would absolutely, if my team was in the running.
Like, yeah,
San Francisco's
but like,
a good tourism town.
You have to take a 30-minute shuttle.
I've got to go find a hotel in San Francisco, pay a lot of money. San Francisco's not a very cheap place to travel to. And then I've got to drive, it's not 30 minutes, it's a fucking hour to go to the middle of fucking nowhere to drive by Dave Meltzer's house.
And more likely you're not driving, you're more likely they're taking a shuttle from the hotel, so you're in a shitty fucking bus, or you're paying an Uber fucking $100.
More than that, probably.
Maybe you rent a car for however much you just rent a car. I don't know. Never rented a car.
And then you got to drive by Dave Meltzer. He's doing, like, bicep curls in his front yard. That's going to weird you out.
Begging for his wife to come back to him.
Oh, did his wife leave him?
No, I don't know if that's true. That's just the joke now, that his wife left him. And his kids won't talk to him. Which I think is funny.
He's had one divorce.
Maybe his wife left him, too. He's kind of going through the midlife crisis thing. It would make sense.
I thought things were all good with his second wife. I know the first wife was rocky. The first wife was rocky.
Did you stay with that man? I don't think so.
That was a rough situation.
But Utah, Washington. Washington favored
this
by
might
five.
Be the best conference championship game of the weekend.
This game's gonna suck.
I mean, it's two evenly matched teams.
It's gonna be a lot of punts.
Look, they're two physical, tough-minded teams.
We might see double-digit punts in this game.
At least they're evenly matched, which is more than you can hope for most of the weekend.
Yeah. I like the over-under it. I like the under at 45. This is going to be like a shitty NFL game. This is going to be like 13-7.
It's going to be rough to watch. There's no way around that.
It ain't going to be much fun. But you know what will be fun? Saturday, because we start off with UL Lafayette and App State playing in beautiful Boone, North Carolina. App State's favored by 17. They probably should roll, but I think this might be a fun game, Luke.
Give me Louisiana, because Satterfield might be talking to a lot of coaching. Like, he might be fielding a lot of coaching offers, and we've seen that before. When you get to a guy at a small school where it looks like he might be leaving, things kind of tend to fall apart because his focus starts getting split.
Yeah.
He starts thinking more about where he's going to be coaching the next year. His players start going, our coach is leaving. Things get weird. Give me Louisiana. That's a big spread, too.
Yeah. Let's just stay with the championship games this week, because the makeup games, who cares? Texas-Oklahoma, the Red River Shootout Part 2. Oklahoma's favored by 8. Over-under 78.
give me the over, and give me Texas.
Give me Oklahoma. I don't think they're not going to lose twice. I think they might blow out Texas.
I think they'll keep it close. I think Texas will keep this close. That's even if they lose, 12. I think this is
going to be a close game. No one gets blown out in the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't think Oklahoma's defense is capable of holding a team to enough points to secure a blowout.
Yeah. I don't mind Texas plus 8 either. Hopefully that'll climb up for some weird reason. I'd love Texas like plus 10. Maybe buy your way up to that if you can. Next up, how about a little Conference USA action? UAB, our boys, played Middle Tennessee State. Middle Tennessee State, 1.5-point favorite. I don't know anything about this, but give me UAB.
Yeah, I don't know anything either, but give me UAB because they actually have fans.
And that game will be played in Floyd Stadium in Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
You know, the only thing I know about Middle Tennessee State is that most of this town, like the leaders of the town, plus almost everybody who worked at the university was defrauded by a Ponzi schemer who...
was he selling, like, instruments?
Yeah, he was literally a musician. He bought a famous mandolin by some famous bluegrass musician and donated it to the school. His name used to be on the music building. It was the most obvious Ponzi scheme of all time. He literally gave them promissory notes, like the classic Charles Ponzi scheme, where, you know, you give him money and he gives you a promissory note that he'll give it back and that he'll invest it for you.
He also built a monorail for the town.
I mean, that would have been more clever than what he actually did. Like, literally, he just took advantage of the fact that he was from the oldest, wealthiest family in Middle Tennessee State. Or in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and he was gay, and they all thought they were smarter than the gay boy. That's literally all it was.
That queer boy done fooled us again.
That queer boy can't fool us. He couldn't even fool us into thinking he's straight.
Speaking of fooling people, how about Memphis, Central Florida? Central Florida favored by 3, even though their quarterback is, I'm assuming, he was shot.
Yeah, I'm taking Memphis. Central Florida's played with fire a lot this season. They're going to have to play this game without Milton. Memphis is lean and hungry. Mike Norvell, another guy who might come up in a lot of coaching searches. He is young. If you keep your ear to the ground, there are some things about him that maybe you go, he's a little immature. You know, he can get away with them at Memphis. He could get away with some of his behavior at Arizona State as an assistant, but maybe not something that would play at a fishbowl job if he ended up at a, you know, certain college jobs.
Yeah, but I'll take Memphis. I've been picking against UCF all year. It's got to happen eventually. Next up, in beautiful Mercedes-Benz Stadium, home of Atlanta's favorite football team, Atlanta United, Georgia, Alabama, Georgia plus 13.5.
Give me Alabama. I don't believe in this Georgia team. I don't believe in them.
You can blow it out, but I think the talent's there. I don't buy the coaching's there. I don't like if you go back to that LSU game, they should have won that game. But, like, they did the dumbest thing possible, which is, like, just keep running the ball. That's how you beat Alabama. Keep them off the field and run the ball. Auburn showed you the blueprint last week. 2 weeks ago, fucking Citadel showed you the goddamn blueprint. Don't let them get the ball. Just run it. Don't go 3-and-out because they just scored a touchdown on you. Don't throw 3 times. Don't get scared. Just keep running, and good things will happen, especially when you got a running back like Holyfield and Swift. And an offensive line that's pretty decent for Georgia. And better than Auburn's. And Auburn played them really close for a half.
I think they'll
expect Fromm to win this game for them, and he won't.
I think my other problem with Auburn is that they're low-key. They have the same problem Michigan does in my mind, where they're trying to win with like a 2009 offense instead of going, look, we're in a new world. This is what all the high schools run. We need to match them up. Kirby Smart's basically he's basically trying to recreate 2008 Alabama. 2009 Alabama. Yeah.
When Saban's not even doing it.
And Saban's like, yeah, Saban's not trying to do that anymore, so why are you trying to do it? It's similar to me. Like, it's the same problem I think I have with Michigan. It's the same problem I have with Georgia. It's that you're trying to do something that all of college football is telling you you shouldn't be trying anymore. Why not try to do more on offense,
be well, a little more creative on offense? Well, especially you got a guy like Justin Fields who, like, do some more read option fun shit and don't worry if you hurt Fromm's feelings and he transfers. Who gives a shit? Do you think Saban worried about that when he put in Tua? No. But that's Georgia's coaching is going to continue to hurt this team. And they don't know it because they still got that brand new car smell, Kirby Smart. But, like, he ain't very smart either. If you didn't like Mark Richt, you're not going to like Kirby Smart in 5 years.
More like Kirby Dumb.
Hell yeah, man.
He's more like Kirby Dumb than Kirby Smart.
So yeah, give me Bama here in a blowout. Probably around. I think it'll be close at half. Bama will destroy.
Yeah, it'll be like the Auburn game where you looked up at it, because I did not watch it because I was like, well, that'll be a blowout. And then I would turn in and see the score and it'd be like, oh shit, Auburn's hanging around. This might be something. And then at some point, like the third or fourth quarter, I looked up and it was like, oh Jesus. Alabama just pulled their innards out through their asshole.
Yeah, well, the thing is, too, Auburn got away from running the dang ball. They started throwing it, going three and out, and that's how you lose to Alabama.
Run the dang ball, Gussie.
Just run the damn ball and don't throw three times in a row. And but I just know Georgia will, because I saw the LSU game. Saw it right before my eyes. Let's move on now, though. Let's talk Mountain West. Fresno State, Boise State, and beautiful Boise, Idaho. Boise favored by 3. Give me Boise. They're kind of back. Or maybe they never left. I don't know.
You know what? Sentimentally, I'm going to go with Fresno because I really want to see Jeff Tedford win a conference title after basically everybody wrote that guy off for dead. That would be good stuff.
Let's see what we got next here. The big one, Northwestern, Ohio State, and Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, Indiana. Northwestern catching 14 points. Give me Northwestern. I think Northwestern will win this game.
It would be super, super funny if Northwestern won this
game. Yeah, I think they will because it's the funniest possible outcome.
We're due for something really weird to happen. And this is like the last weekend that something really weird could happen.
Yeah.
This has been one of the most straightforward, boring seasons in college football history.
Well, we could have two weird things happen when we talk about this.
We're due for the Big Ten and the ACC to have upsets.
Yeah. I like Northwestern here, though. I'd like them a lot. I mean, this is the best season Northwestern's had in forever.
It's been a while.
And finally, 8 o'clock. At Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, in front of maybe 200 people.
Clemson don't have a lot of people.
Pittsburgh, Clemson.
Their entire alumni.
Oh no, it was when it was in Jacksonville was the issue, right?
Yeah, because nobody in the state of Florida cares about, like, Florida State fans don't travel. Like, Miami fans don't travel at all, and Florida State fans won't go anywhere. Like in that area, because they go, that's Gator country. I'm not going there.
Yeah. But Pittsburgh catching 28. Give me that. Pittsburgh wins weird. This is setting up for something weird. I'm telling you.
God.
So what if Pittsburgh wins? Does Clemson still gets in the playoff? Right.
I think they probably would because they'd only have one loss.
But what if we get some weird? Let's say Clemson. Let's say Northwestern, Pittsburgh, and Georgia all win. Let's say Oklahoma wins, too.
Notre Dame national champions.
It'll be what? Notre Dame.
See that? Well, I take that back. Clemson's schedule's so weak this year.
Yeah.
If they lost to Pitt, they might. I actually think, you know, depending, like if Ohio State, Oklahoma, and Alabama all win, I think Clemson maybe gets left out, and we get Ohio State, Oklahoma, Florida, or Alabama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Because Clemson really can't afford a loss, considering people really don't have a lot of respect for their schedule. Nor should they. It wasn't a great schedule this year.
No, they did blow everybody out, though. To be fair,
not everybody.
Except for Syracuse.
They tried to lose to Syracuse.
Well, they also lost their quarterback, so.
I feel like Alabama could lose their quarterback and still put 35 up on Syracuse in the first quarter. Know what I mean?
Yeah. So, that's the week. So, big weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's the last weekend where you got a full slate of games.
Yeah. Just next week we got one. Be a short show. I think next week we might do, maybe we'll do some awards.
Sure.
Just do them on the fly. No thought to them whatsoever. So we
That's the way we do this. God darn it. That's the Chicago way.
We're going to stuff the ballots.
They put one of yours in the hospital, you put two of theirs in the morgue. They kill two of yours, you urinate on three of theirs.
Hustle, loyalty, respect. That's what Chicago's all about.
I don't know. Have you been watching Reggie Riley's Instagram?
Oh, Alex Riley? Former Boston College superstar?
Yeah, he's done some weird shit.
Yeah.
Son of a longtime sideline reporter, Kevin Kiley.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of scary.
Coming across like he's going to try to murder somebody.
Yeah.
Like, do not go out on a date with this guy. You might end up being thrown through a glass plate window. I guess he lost that. I guess did what's that wrestling TV show? GLOW. I guess they didn't bring him back for season two. Mm. Are they doing a season three? I don't know. He seemed a happier guy when he was doing GLOW. It seems like he's not. That was maybe his one and done in the acting professions.
Sorry, I got distracted by James Ellsworth's story.
Oh, you mean a Florida indie guy's got a thing for 12-year-olds? I can't believe it. You should definitely send your 12-year-old daughter to go train at a Florida training school, though.
He paid some. This is according to Rajah.com, our boy.
Well, that's where I get all my news, so. Always have, always will.
He claimed it was fake. I don't know what he said. But apparently he paid someone a few thousand dollars to find out where the 16-year-old girl lived and steal her cell phone and destroy it.
Well, that turned out okay, didn't it? Definitely worked.
So she couldn't present it to the police.
Yeah. What a fucking shithead.
There you go.
Honestly, I know I used to be a big Kenny Omega fan. When I found out that guy was affiliated with Florida Indies, I haven't had much to do with the old Omega train since then.
Well, should have hopped on. I was the one trying to stop that train to begin with.
I should have known that, like, an anime dweeb who does, like, shipping, like, who intentionally, like, tries to cater to shippers would probably be, like, a sex pest who loves, like, 14-year-old girls.
Yeah.
Probably, I should have seen that coming.
Well, that's what you get, Dan. Nothing else. It's kind of late breaking news, I guess. Not really, but Kyle Korver traded back to Utah.
Back to Utah? Thought he was Atlanta, do or die.
No, Utah's like where he's with Cleveland.
Yeah, but I thought he was at Utah. I thought he was at Atlanta before Cleveland.
No, he was in Utah's like where he was like a god. Because he was a handsome white boy.
Well, you know how they love their handsome white boys there.
Mm-hmm. So, and now Utah has three white guys on their team. So look out.
Plus some foreign white guys, right?
Yeah, Rubio.
Rubio's doing his best not to look like a white guy, though, these days.
Yeah.
Rubio's trying to look like Carlos Boozer, or whatever the fuck he was. Another guy defrauded by a Ponzi schemer.
We should Ponzi scheme some athletes.
It doesn't seem that hard, to be honest with you.
Yeah. So I think that's it for me for the week.
Wait, so. No. Carlos Boozer didn't get hit by a Ponzi scheme. It was a fake charity. Like, this guy came to him claiming that he had invented, like, these new way to, like, cheaply construct houses for, like, the third world. Mm-hmm. And they were going to donate a ton of them to Haiti after the big Haitian... Was it an earthquake a few years, like, yes, 10 years ago? Yeah. After the Haitian earthquake, they were going to, like, build all this housing to replace the destroyed houses for all these Haitians. And he, like, went to a bunch of NBA players and was like, hey, do you want to donate to this? And they said, yeah. And then it turned out that at best they had prototypes of how this stuff would work. It was nowhere near being implementable. And, you know, he just ran off with the money.
Well, and that person's name was Bill Clinton.
He did have an inside guy with the Clinton administration. That's what got him introduced to all these people.
Like, there you go.
The guy he sucked in first was like a Hillary guy during the 2008 election. And then he used that guy to meet all of that guy's friends, which included most of, like, the NBA in Miami, because he was a Miami real estate developer.
Yeah.
So he knew all these basketball players. And so, yeah, literally, you're right. It was he used the Clinton's name to defraud a bunch of people.
All right. So,
I know, it's shocking, right?
Yeah.
Somebody affiliated with the Clintons would have shockingly terrible judgment.
I am shocked.
At least he's not a pedophile. I mean, anyway, on that note, fuck the Queen, fuck Jeffrey Epstein or whatever his name is. The guy that Chapo talked about endlessly until the point I was kind of sick of it, because I was like, well, all right, he seems like a bad dude, but do I have to hear about him every week? Fuck Australia, fuck Ole Miss, fuck Jeff Flake. I don't know. He probably did something.
Fuck Ben Sasse.
Fuck Jonathan Chait, just in general. And play the music, Jason.